When we came here on divine mission with a divine plan and a purpose tailored to us. A path that's meant to be walked in our boldest authenticity. But along the way, life has happened. Generational patterns got in the way, systemic barriers showed up, and we were left to adapt and adopt imprint stories and survival modes that were never meant to define us forever. Here, we hold sacred space to heal those narratives, those traumas, the generational and systemic barriers, and help guide you back home to your truest divine self and your soul's calling. This is the Ashley Lane Podcast, your home for healing with love so you can live out your soul work in truth and power. Welcome to the Ashley Lane Podcast, where soul meets strategy, spirit meets systems, and healing becomes your legacy. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Ashley Elaine Podcast. Yes, I changed the name again. We'll talk about that later. I am your favorite guide, your favorite pink sheep, your favorite cycle breaker, just your favorite. Welcome to this episode. I am back on the mic. I had to step away for a minute, but I still made sure to give you guys something. So grab your tea, grab your coffee, grab your blanket, grab your journal, and let's get into the things. I'm starting to wonder if triggers are not just the thing that we have to become aware of in what else needs to be healed or move through or work through, but if triggers are the thing that reminds us of what we came here to do, who we came here to be, how we came here to live, and if they are the thing that we are to sit with, that tells us, oh, no, this is not okay for you, because this is not what you are meant to do. This is not what you are meant to have. This is not what you are, who you are meant to be, or who you are meant to stay as. Or the other side of that, because we always look at triggers as just a negative thing. The other side of that is, ooh, yes, this is the thing that you are supposed to be doing. This is the remembrance of who you are, where you're supposed to be, how you're supposed to be living, et cetera, et cetera. That question just came to me like as I was like getting ready to hit record, not in any of my notes. I love when that happens. But I've had to step away for a minute, and I know that the trigger for me in having to step away from social media, step away from even like recording any new episodes, was that guy that got shot, Charlie Kirk, because I'm going to be respectful and I have my own thoughts. Because of, so when I reflect on who I am and who I've allowed myself to step into, I am a communicator, right? I am like the journey to me coming into my voice, finding my voice, using my voice, not allowing my voice to be shut down has been immaculate, right? It's, I don't know if immaculate's the right word now that I've said it out loud. It's been intense, and it's been, when I say immaculate, it's been like I'm seeing grandiose, beautiful, in like, I'm here, I've arrived. It's, It's the mansion of with the marble floors, and it's like, bitch, I'm here. All right. And so at that moment when all of that happened, it caused a really big uproar on social media and in the country, as we all know. And I wanted to say so much and respond to so much shit that I saw online from people that I went to school with, people that I can't say that I was friends with, but even like family members. Like it was a lot. Empathic parts of me was taking in so much that I was just like, yeah, no, I need to disappear for a minute. I need to back down. I need to recluse, because I want to make sure that my energy was stewarded or that my energy was placed in the spaces that it needed to be placed in, that I was preserving my energy for the conversations that were going to be healing, the conversations that were going to be two-sided, three-sided, whatever, the conversations that were not going to just meet what I wanted to hear and what I want to confirm, but also be able to engage in the healthy dialogue of, well, why do you think this? What does that mean for you? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Those eclipse portals that we had, which is where, like, him getting shot, like, started or was inside of. September was the cocoon I did not know I needed, that I probably asked for along my healing journey and did not expect. And I can't say that I wanted it or didn't want it, because when I tell you the amount of triggers that hit me, the amount of tests that came through, like when I'm like, even now, as I'm thinking about just the month of September, all I see is like darkness. And it's not the darkness of like, oh my God, I'm depressed and just like in this deep, like it wasn't depression, because I know what depression feels like, and it wasn't that. It was, I need you to step away from everything and everybody outside of what your true commitments are and go inward. And I need you to go inward, because you are going to get triggered so that I can show you what is no longer supposed to be, what you need to let go, where you need to set boundaries, and where you need to use your voice, where I needed to do all of these things. It felt like a final test before whatever new was coming. And mind you, whenever something is shifting, whenever something new is coming in, you're never going to see it first. It's going to be felt. It's going to be felt internally first. It's going to be felt in the body first, because the body is the mechanic of how we move through this world. So if we're just moving off of logic, that's not always going to work, right? The brain can't always conceptualize what is needing to be embodied, right? We're living this life through embodiment. We're not living this life through thinking. And that's where the greatest downfall, at least for me, has been, is in my thoughts. So when you talk about the embodiment, right, we're talking mind, body, spirit, embodiment and alignment. And what are these triggers doing for me? The triggers were hitting at every single level. Right. Every single level, every single, if you look at life as a wheel, every single part of that wheel was being triggered. So it's being triggered in, what kind of relationships do I want in my life? What kind of relationships and people and opportunities do I feel like I'm worthy of? Is this thing that I've been building and proclaiming for myself, Is it built on a solid foundation? And what foundation have I built it on? Right? The things that I've been saying that I want and that I want my business and my career and my brand and my life and my relationships and my money, like all of these things, the way I've been living them out, are they still true? The things that I've been trying to manifest or wanting to manifest, do I still want those? And I hit this like, I mean, the triggers were just astronomical at this point. And I was sitting like there just came this moment where like the biggest wound that I thought I had healed came up and needed to be addressed. And what that brought for me was just because you've been healing a wound doesn't mean that it's fully healed, right? Doesn't mean that it's like you still have to tend to it. You still got to put ointment on it. You still got to check in with it and make sure that it's clean and that it's, nothing's getting into it. Nothing is tainting it. All of that, right? Our mind, our body, and our spirit is the same way. Our relationships are the same way. So that wound, that big wound for me was abandonment. And I'd hit a period where that came up again, right? As much as I'm like denying people left and right and blocking people left and right and removing people left and right and accepting, these layers of grief and all these different things, something in that period, something in that cocoon needed me to look at the wound of abandonment. At first glance, getting this trigger shocked everything in me, right? Like that trigger shocked everything in me. And then I'm sitting like, and I mean, even to the point where my therapist was like, "What the hell is wrong with you? Like, I've never seen you this ungrounded. I've never seen you this discombobulated. I've never seen you like this floaty," which is like crazy, right? It's like I've never seen you in this space. And I didn't know that it was an abandonment wound until I'm like just sitting there like talking to her about what the thing is that triggered this wound. And when I said it out loud, I just cried, right? That was the most cleansing thing ever. That was the most eye-opening thing ever, because what that trigger did for me in my cocoon. Now we're talking about, I mean, like if we know the art of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, they sit in that cocoon and they die. And that felt like part of what I had to die to, right? That trigger came to kill whatever version of me was still sitting in that wound and had no knowledge of it. So being in that cocoon, right? Like I said, it was very dark, and the caterpillar doesn't know that it's in the dark. It just knows that it's turning into goo. It's turning into complete goo. I mean, I'm talking about like I had my room became my cocoon. It became that place where I allowed myself to go so deep internally that I had to shut myself off. I had to shut myself off. I still had like my core people that I could talk to and get to, because they're also in their cocoon, right? And that's the thing about it. I wanted to be with people who were acknowledging that they were also in their cocoon. That's a whole nother different, I don't know. It might be something different. Not sure. So as I'm paying attention to this trigger, at some point I'm looking at what is this trigger trying to show me, and what is it trying to teach me, and How do I get onto the other side of it? This is where we start making our trigger work for us, right? This is where we start making that trigger I don't know, like there's this thing where people make triggers so negative. It's like, oh my God, they're triggering me. And it's like, okay, maybe they were sent to trigger you, right? This person that triggered the abandonment was sent to trigger me into not self-abandoning, right? Not abandoning myself, whether I believe that I haven't been, there's still a part of me that has been abandoning myself that I didn't even know I was abandoning, right? So we can't keep looking at triggers as this bad thing all the time, especially when it's coming from someone else. We have to remember that we are mirrors of each other. And when someone has come into our lives, right, those karmic partners, those karmic friendships, those karmic people, right, that seem to be here and have this grand connection, and it ends so quickly, or it's really volatile, or whatever it is, that's a mirror. There's something in a past life and a past version of us that is needing to be healed. And that is a part of our assignment. That is a part of our purpose. That is a part of our call. Because if that person was a mirror for me, then I needed to see, right? It's less about the other person and more about, well, what is this teaching me? We got to stop looking at, oh my God, they're triggering me. Oh my God, they're such a trigger. And it's like, okay, but what are they triggering in you? What is it that you needed to see within yourself that they came to show you that you may not have been able to elevate from if this person did not come into your life? One thing I've learned about myself is I am a fucking mirror for a lot of people. And I've learned that part of what I'm here to do is mirror back to people themselves, whether they like it or not, whether they hate me for it or not, whether they try to use it against me or not. I don't care. I mirror back to people what they need to see within themselves. And it's not about a lack thing. It's not about a superior thing. It's not about a power and control dynamic. It's literally, we are all here to be mirrors of each other. And we are all here to walk each other back to our divine selves, because of the things that this life brings us, because of the patterns in our DNA and in our family system and you know, our race, our culture, and the things that we're told we're supposed to do, the way we're supposed to be, the things we're supposed to be doing. No. If I believe that I was called here for such a time as this, right, for a divine purpose that is greater than me, that also means that there are things that I'm going to have to also experience that walk me back to that divine version of myself that God created and cultivated before I even hit my mother's womb. So having to move through that trigger was the best thing for me. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, it is good that I was afflicted. It's good that we are afflicted. It is good that we are triggered. It is good that we are triggered. It's what you do with that information. Everything is information. Everything is information. Your emotions are information. The aches and pains and all the things in our body, everything is information. Our triggers are information. When we are triggered, that is information. So we need to stop moving away from, oh my God, I'm triggered, to what is this teaching me? Why is this triggering me? What is it triggering in me to pay attention to? Right? If you've been with me for a while, you hear me always say, out of the mind, into the body. right? Why? Because our body is the system. It holds the system that allows us to embody and move through this life. So if there's a previous version of who we were on the other side of this cocoon, and inside of our cocoon, we're experiencing these triggers, there's a reason why we're experiencing this trigger so greatly, because it's supposed to trigger change, right? I'm thinking about, like, as I'm saying this, I'm seeing like a system in that I use for when I have clients come in, or, you know, to have people sign up for things. You set up automated triggers, right? So the system, you know, you send somebody the link, they fill out a form. My hand is itching, palm is itching. They fill out the form, and once they make their payment and they hit complete, I set up a trigger for them to now receive a welcome email. That welcome email now triggers something in my system, letting me know that I have a new client. That then triggers what category I need to put them in. Is it just for the virtual heel shop? Is it just for my, like, the coaching? Is it just for it? Like, it, so we are constantly enduring, like, the triggers are set up. It's almost like bombs being set up wherever we have to go. How are you able to manage through them? This just triggered a dream that I had years ago, where it's like, you know where the landmines are, and then some landmines you don't know where they are, and you need that landmine to be able to show you what you have not, like, moved through completely. What these triggers also come up for is to ask us, have we just been saying we're healing and taking in all this information, or are we actually ready to do the fucking work? Because the work isn't just, I'm taking in all the information, I'm reading all the books, I'm going to the yoga, I'm sweating it out, right? Are we putting it into practice? So one thing this trigger of my abandonment wound brought up was, you've been working on boundaries. Let me see you put it in place. And I put that bitch in place. I put the boundary in place, right? Because it can't be enough for me to say, oh, I'm learning what my boundaries are, and I'm learning how to use my voice. And, you know, I can use my voice all day here on my platform that I'm creating and building, right? I can use my voice all day on social media, on a platform that was created for me to create a platform for myself. But can I use my voice to express my boundaries and say out loud, hey, I don't like when you do this. When you do this, this is what happens with me. How can we rectify that? What is it going to take for us to be on the same page with that? And then accept that if we're not on the same page with that, if you can't change the behavior, because I'm all about behavior change, and I am the only one changing and shifting my behavior, which is setting the boundary, right? Setting a boundary is a behavior change. Because think about how much you've allowed to happen when you didn't set the boundary. Using your voice is a behavior change. Because think about how many things you let slide because you didn't set the boundary. So this trigger then triggered me into saying, hey, when you do this, it brings this up for me and makes me feel like this, and it doesn't make me feel safe. Now, I will say our triggers are our responsibility, right? And it's not for the other person to soothe those triggers or change them or heal us or none of that, right? The trigger is for us to be, the trigger is for us to see the information. And I said to this person, I know that my triggers are my responsibility. And I think it takes noting to and letting you know that when you do X, Y, and Z, this is what triggered. When you did X, Y, and Z, this is what triggered. This is what came up for me. I'm not asking you to manage my trigger. I'm asking you to be aware of what your behavior is that triggers that. And if you see your behavior as a challenge for you, then what needs to change on both ends so that we're not triggering each other? Right? It's all about communication. The old version of me wouldn't have said anything and would have just been sitting in the trigger by myself, sitting in that moment by myself. Right? Obviously, this person could not change whatever they needed to. And that's not a me thing. That's a them thing, but that's also like them needing to do their own work. And my trigger also triggered something for them. This is only going to be seen as a negative thing if it becomes, if I didn't set the boundary. Triggers are supposed to happen. There is no such thing as a perfect friendship, a perfect relationship, a perfect partnership, a perfect anything. What makes them perfect is when the trigger happens and we're able to articulate and have conversation around the underlying thing. Right? Because it's never always the trigger. It's why the trigger happened. And how can we meet each other on the same battlefield of acknowledging what behavior change needs to happen on both sides? Right? It's basically choosing what dance you want to have. Right. So if you are in your space of cocoon, or if September girl was your space of cocoon, like I know it was for me, myself, and a lot of other people, I want you to reframe. I invite you. I don't want you to do anything. I'm inviting you to start reframing how you see your triggers, because you can make your trigger work for you, girl. You can make your trigger work for you, guy. That sounds really weird. But you can make your trigger work for you. Right? Actually, give yourself the space to ask yourself, what is this trigger trying to teach me? I think also it takes you having some sense of where your nervous system is to even accept the trigger and what it's doing. Now, the trigger doesn't mean that, you know, you have to accept the other person's behavior. Absolutely not. The trigger doesn't mean that you have to go off. And that's another thing. That trigger also triggered me using my voice and saying exactly what I needed to say in terms of not holding back on speaking my truth also, right? So me being triggered, my abandonment wound being triggered me into one, setting a boundary, two, using my voice to say, hey, when you do this, this is what happens to me. Can we talk about it? And you go from there on what the next step is, whether they, you know, voice whatever they need to or they don't. And three, it triggered me into speaking my truth and owning all parts of me, right? Like the last month and the month before, I was really talking deeply about shadow work and the integration of all parts of us, right? I wouldn't have been able to, I don't think I would have been able to allow this trigger to work for me if I didn't do the shadow work and integrate all parts of me. Because then I'm not allowing anger and rage to have me speak up for myself and it be diminishing another person, but it allowed me to speak up for myself and say what I needed to say that was going to empower me and empower the shift that needed to happen in the both of us. There's a difference. Yeah, that's all I got, right? Making our triggers work for us. That means not jumping the gun and really being able to check in with our nervous system and ask ourselves those questions. What is this trigger here to teach me? Because again, we are all mirrors of each other. We are all reflecting something deep within each other. And if you are actually really doing the healing work and saying you want to heal, you got to ask yourself, well, what behaviors is it that I need to change? Because a lot of people think it's everybody else and not them. And yes, right? And there's a part of you that has kept been allowing that same behavior from those people into your life, into your orbit, right? So what is it that we are undoing so that we can rest our nervous system, so that we can meet those deep true parts of us that want what it is that we're calling in? Because the version of you now is not the person that is holding what it is that you want. So the change behavior is going to start with you. It's not always going to be the other person. If the other person wants to acknowledge their faults and do their healing work, then that's cool, right? But it can't always be everybody else. It's also not you always falling on the sword for everybody else. Sometimes you got to tell somebody you fucked up. You did some real crazy shit. You did something that I never thought I'd experience. And now here we are, me not talking to you, right? That's the boundary, right? It's shifting the perspective of how we see triggers, how we see these not so good things that arise within us when they involve another person. Because it's easy to be by yourself and not be triggered, not have to experience, you know, a shock to the nervous system or a shock to the system, or no, it's easy to be by yourself and everything be good, right? But can you keep that goodness that when you are in a mirroring space with someone else, right? I think that's another reason why, like, I had to like kind of dip off of social media, because whatever was shifting with me, I started looking at stuff and I was just like, is this real? Like, are we doing like real healing work, or are we just saying that we are and broadcasting it? I want to see you in your cocoon, God damn it. And I didn't say God, I said got, right? I want to see you in the deep, dark trenches of your cocoon and how you move through that trigger. I want to see if you've not just read the book, been to the therapist, got on the yoga mat, been to the gym. I want to see the embodiment of it all. Are you embodying your healing? Because that's the butterfly. That's the butterfly. Nice big inhale and exhale. This is part of that great lock-in. It's not by happenstance that we just had that really intense eclipse portal. I feel like things have been shifting actually since like the 8-8 portal, like August 2025. Something has been shifting since then, right? I know we've been shifting, like the timeline started shifting in 2023, And now when I look back at 2023, I'm like, oh yeah, it has. Like when I think about my own personal life and maybe reflect on that for yourself. But since August, something has been like moving different. And I remember sitting outside with my son and asking him, maybe a little bit before August, asking him like, bro, you feel something shifting? He's like, yeah, I feel something, mommy, but I don't know what it is. I don't know. I know, but I don't know. Yeah. I love y'all. I don't know if I love y'all for free anymore. That's also shift. But I have so much love to give that I am stewarding how I pour that love out. Yes. Remember, your triggers are not here to harm you. They are here to teach you and elevate you. Let your triggers work for you. Let them work for you. Because on the other side of those triggers is the version of you that you have been asking for. Take care of yourself and take care of the people that show you your worth. I love you. Bye.